Good morning, church. Welcome to online worship this morning. If this is your first time here, I want to welcome you warmly, but welcome to old friends, new friends, and everyone. So I was doing Enter Through the Veil yesterday. We were doing Psalms 150, and I was thinking, what better way for us to come and worship God and praise God than to use our voices, to use the different instruments? So let me share with you, let me read it out to you, Psalms 150. This is what it says. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the tambourine and dance. And praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. And praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. And this is the key part. This is verse 6. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So as we come to worship this morning, as we enter into a time of praise and worship, I encourage you, praise Him with your breath, praise Him with everything you have. And this morning, as we sing songs that tells us more about God the Father and His love for us, I encourage you to think about that, praise Him for that love that He has for us. So I encourage you to think about that and to reflect on that and to dwell on that this morning as we sing. So let us rise and let us pray and prepare our hearts for praise and worship. God, we just want to come before You and we want to give thanks that we can still worship You anywhere, and we can worship You at home, in church, and we can worship You with our entire being. And Lord, I just pray that this morning as we sing praise to You, let us think about You as our Father, You and Your love that You have for us. And I pray that we can praise You with every breath that we have in us. I pray You'll bless us this morning and open our hearts to receive the word You have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Your river runs with love for me, and I'll open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when Your love came down. I could sing of Your love. Your love forever. Oh, I feel love. In the dead of night, you tell me that you please and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
To the Father, I fall into
surgeon. My soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 oh. You saw my condition and a plan from the start. Son for redemption, the prize from my heart. I don't have a contact for that land of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Running to life from death, I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in, and I know I need you now. My heart has been in long before my first breath, running into your arms is running to life from death. And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart found a surgeon, my soul found a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and
pray together. God, in this sermon series, we are looking at our identity, who we are, and we must admit that a lot of times we go out into the world and to search who we are and search for our identity and search for affirmation and search for comfort. And God, I know that a lot of us, we have gotten tired of the world that's outside. We're not able to find that hope and our identity outside. And so God, would you, in your mercy, would you draw us near back to you? In your grace, would you draw us back to you? God, would you open our eyes and open our ears to hear what you have to say to us, personally say to us, of who we are in you. And may we always come back to you and find our ground and our foundation in the love that you have for us. We thank you because you are the loving Father, you're the good Father. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, you may be seated.
When I grew up as a girl, I had this strong sense of inferiority. I felt that I was not good enough for anything. Because I was fat, I was not tall enough, I didn't have the right shape of eye, I didn't have nice hair, I was darker in skin tone, I had beauty mark on my face, which was actually the biggest stigma in my life. And I just feel ugly. Then I start to feel that people are not paying as much attention to me, and people start teasing me, calling me names. I came to a conclusion that it's just because I was not pretty enough. It made me deserve less attention, less acceptance, and less inference. So to overcome these unpleasant situations, girls usually have two options. One, you make yourself look prettier. So I start this never-ending course of dieting, exercising, learning makeup, following fashion trend. Second, you compensate with something else. Then create a big pressures on me to excel in some other areas. And I try to be the smartest girl instead. I try to be the kindest girl instead. I try to be a girl who everybody will love. And the outcome was I no longer knew who I really was. I believe many of you sitting in front of the screen now would be able to relate to this in one way or another. With the recent rise of concepts like self-acceptance, self-compassion, and the seemingly inclusive definition of beauty, I once hoped it could be a liberating news for women. I hope that finally we can unhook our self-worth and self-image from our physical appearance. So after all, now you don't need to be beautiful according to the social standard in order to be accepted. However, the trick seems to be in the word self. The fact is we don't live in isolation. We don't live in our own world. We are social animals living in our societies. So sometimes we will ask ourselves, is it enough? Is it really enough that we are accepted only by myself? And probably in our heart there will be a voice saying, well, actually, I would also be like to be loved and accepted by someone else. Which means my self-acceptance will be influenced by the world standard and how the world may see me. So in an article by a social researcher, Rebecca Huntley, she said, perception of beauty in women might be changing, but the pressures is still relentless. According to her, the society does move towards a more inclusive standard of beauty. On the other hand, women nowadays are still bombarded by the social media. Young women are fed daily with endless streaming of photo-perfect self-portraits. And it's impossible for women to just simply turn it off. They may be in their heart, they may ask themselves. So on one hand, they understand this pictures, these photos are probably photoshopped. They maybe some filters are added. So that's how these girls became like so beautiful. Look at their skin, their skins are flawless. Look at their eyes are so large, and they look so tall and slim and slender, and the cheeks are growing. Yet, it's hard to not to compare themselves with these photos. They may think like, oh, only if I can look a little bit, you know, a little bit lighter in skin tone, only if I can be a little bit taller, a little bit slimmer, or maybe if my cheekbone can be a little bit smaller and my eyes are a little bit larger, I may feel better of myself. Yet, they will never be able to match that standard, because this standard is nowadays highly artificial. However, it's the natural consequence. As long as we define beauty only by our physical appearance, we will feel the pressures to look in a particular way. The lies that you need to be beautiful for people to love you is still fully alive, just in a more subtle and complicated form. So it still means our appearance has a disproportionately large shares in our self-image. But having said that, there's nothing wrong to, you know, to love beauty, to look for beautiful things. Our inclination to beauty is just so natural. Just like you don't need to teach a kid to love beautiful things. I know, because I see me like a lot of children, they prefer things or color based on how appealing are this thing for to their little size. So after all, the God that created us also created beauty. He put beauty in His created world. He is the original creator of beauty. Just take a walk in the garden. What do you see? You can see the beautiful flowers, the beautiful leaves in different shade. And I sometimes ask myself, do we actually need such sophistication in our creations? You know, flowers just for the spreading of pollen and bearing of fruit. And leaves, they're just food production line for the plant. So probably we only need one kind of flowers. We only need one kind of leaves. Yet God created many. And from time to time, I pondered, like, oh, beside these practical reasons, beauty must be one essential element during creations. Because you can see that this diversity is extravagant, yet with little added practical functions. So beauty is in God's mind from the very, very beginning. Then, what does God say about beauty in His book, the Bible? The Creator turns our eyes to where true beauty lays. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 4, Peter said, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of your hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." Through Peter, God points out where beauty is to be found. It's not in our appearance, as the world tells us. It's in our inner self. Peter here was not trying to discourage young girls to pay attention to how they look in the public. He was actually dealing with an urgent and tricky situation. In Peter's time, there was a group of women believers whose husband was not just non-Christians, but against Christ. At that time, you know, each of the household have their own god. They worship different god in their household, like the goddess Athena, etc. So this husband probably got really, really upset when their wife turned to another god, a different god from the family god. It sounds like betrayal. So these ladies were risking the possibility that they may get kicked out or divorced by their husbands. In those days, it pretty much means these women would have nothing to sustain their living. So probably many of these women Christians were struggling. They might want to convince their husband to believe in Jesus. They might end up having a fight with their husband, or they might want to win over their husband's hearts again. So the age-old emphasis on women's appearance may become a possible way to win over husband's hearts. they might try to captivate their husband's heart again by like upscaling their look. Maybe they would try like, oh, how about I can put on the better clothing? Or should I do my hair in a certain way like the actresses to make myself look prettier? Or making myself shine like a star by putting on a pair of intriguing jewelry? Maybe this lady, they talk to themselves from time to time, thinking that maybe, making myself beautiful would win over my husband's heart, so he might love me more, adore me more, accept me more, and listen to me more. This is a common sense, right? Right? And Peter said, wrong. It won't bring you anywhere. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, Peter said, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husband, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Peter knew that these women were struggling. He knew they wanted desperately to win over the husband, probably not out of selfishness, but to win the husband over for Christ. And he said, likewise. Like what? I suggest we spend some time look into 1 Peter chapter 2 right now. You will see here, Peter was pointing to us an important truth. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, he said, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possessions, that you may proclaim the excellency of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Peter pointed to our new identity. We are the chosen race. We are more royal than any royal class. We are royal as Jesus is royal. We are holy. We are for Jesus' own possessions. We are now in the light, not in the dark. So we don't need to live in the lies of the darkness, which causes fear, guilt, and shame. In this new identity, we have a new way to respond to the world. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, he said, Beloved, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitations. See your differences and live out as one. You know, living with a non-believer is just like living among Gentiles. Yes, they might speak against you because of your faith. Yes, they might tease you out of no reason. You might want to fight back just because of your own inner self, the one that seeks own benefit, the one that seeks self-defense or revenge. But Peter said, keep your conduct honorable, so they can see your good deed and God can be glorified through you. Now look at Jesus. He did not sin, even when standing in front of his enemy. He still put his salvation plan before his personal happiness. His actions sent a profound message to the world that captivated the world, that changed the world. So likewise, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, wife. Even when your husband disobeyed God, even when they didn't care about God, when you treated them as Jesus treated Gentile and his enemy, when you let go of your need of winning, when you still put their ultimate welfare in your mind, they would still be won over by your actions. Eugene Peterson in a message translates this verse like this. There are husbands who, indifferent as they are to any word about God, will be captivated by your life of holy beauty. I like the word captivated. It gives me a strong image that people actually couldn't, they can't let their eyes look away from you. It gives me a strong sense that the heart is actually captured, and just not just captured, but changed. So people were not captivated by their appearance, but by how this woman carried their life, by how they acted in front of their husband. Not out of personal interest, but out of Christ's compassion, grace, and kindness. This, according to Eugene Peterson, is holy beauty, a beauty in Christ. So what is captivating about you is not your appearance, but what is inside of you. That's when Peter continued to point it out in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. But let your adorning be the hidden person in a heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very, very precious. Like what happened, like remember the story Cinderella? At the moment Cinderella stepped into the ballroom, everybody turned around and they were impressed, they were surprised. The dress, the glass slippers, the hair make her so beautiful, and people were like impressed at all. But this time Peter said, you know what, actually it's not about the slippers, it's not about the dress, it's not about the hairstyle, or anything. It's about the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit inside you that make people turn around and be impressed by you. And this spirit is precious in God's eyes. It's just more than beautiful. And the best of all, it lasts forever. You know, our appearance, no matter how beautiful we are right now, will fade away one day. Wrinkle will finally appear. Our jawline will finally loosen. Our slim body will change as well with age. But this gentle and quiet spirit is not just beautiful. It's not just more beautiful than anything. It also lasts forever. And it only gets better with age. So if this holy beauty is the beauty of Christ, if this holy beauty lasts forever, then we need to see, like, what does a gentle and quiet spirit mean? How can such a spirit be beautiful? You know, for many of us nowadays, when we think about gentle and quiet, we think like, oh, gentle and quiet, it makes us weak. But I guess nobody will think of Jesus as weak. However, gentle and quiet are the exact characters of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus told us to take my yoke up on you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Learn what? Jesus is asking his people to follow his teachings. And Jesus said himself is gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus said he is gentle and humble. Learn from his heart. He is gentle and humble. Learn from him. He is humble because he fixed his heart on God. He always yields to God, even at the toughest moments in his life on earth. He is the kind king with all the authorities of the earth, yet he invites his people to him in kindness and grace. He did not boast about his position or power. Instead, he put others' well-being before himself. This is holy beauty of Christ, truly humble, full of kindness, full of grace. This is the true standard of beauty in the eyes of the original creator of beauty. And such beauty is powerful and captivating. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2, the prophet said, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. This is Jesus. no physical beauty in human's eye. He was not an opa from the K-drama. He was not charming if you only look at his face. However, during his time on Earth, he became the person of the years. Many people follow him around just to listen to his preaching. People came to him at the moment they need him most, and at the moment they needed healing. Thousands and thousands of lives were transformed inside out. And the most amazing of all, his attractiveness never faded. Even after hundreds of generations, he is still popular. People still follow him. Lives are still transformed. And he is never, never outdated. It is God's love. It is God's love in Jesus that make him captivating. Have you experienced such beauty before? Have you ever wondered how would this beauty look like in a normal person? I believe most of us heard about the story of Florence Nightingale. He was originally a girl born into a well-off family. Yet he gave up everything to serve the wounded soldiers during the war. He was a forerunner of professional nurse. But do you know that he did all this out of her love of Christ? He was a girl of strong faith. Christ's compassion motivated her to step out of her comfort zone and put herself in a hostile battlefield. And many lives have been touched by her. Many were healed and comforted, not just physically, but also spiritually. By putting others before her, she became this gentle and humble presence in a hostile and bloody place. Holy beauty is a captivating and transformative power. So it ended up. It's not about how tall you are, how slim you are. It's not about how photogenic you are that make you beautiful. It is Christ's gentle and lowly spirit in you that makes you beautiful. It's Christ-like character that makes you captivating. Maybe we have been soaked in these cultures of physical beauty for far too long. Our minds are imprinted with this light. You need to be beautiful for people to love you. People will only adore you, care about you, like you when you get all the desirable features on your body. However, the creator of beauty does not agree. The truth is, first, you don't need to meet the beauty standard of the world to be loved. You are already loved. At the moment of your creation, you are loved by God. Second, you are beautiful because you have Jesus' Spirit in you. You are beautiful when you fixed your eye on God, when you add out Jesus' kindness, gentleness, grace, and humility. It's an important truth, not just for girls, but for everyone. I know the pressure on men is just equally intense as women. According to the Bible, you don't need to be like an opa to be handsome. It's your inner person, the spirit inside you making you handsome. I have a 6-year-old daughter. I know the truth is the world in whatever form will feed her lies about her appearance and self-worth. And this is exactly the truth I want her to be able to hold on to when that time comes. Knowing that she does not need to look in a particular way to be loved and accepted. Knowing that it's what inside her is Jesus' Spirit that makes her captivating and powerful. That imperishable beauty of gentle and humble spirit. This is also a truth that we all need to hold on to. It's the exact truth we need to exchange with the lies we soak in for so a long, long time. May God help us to exchange His truth with the light. Let us pray. Lord, we call out to You. Lord, help us. help us to see the true beauty in your eyes. Lord, help us. Help us to exchange this lie from the world telling us that physical beauty is everything with the truth about beauty from you. The truth about Jesus' characters, about Jesus' love, about Jesus' gentleness and compassion. Lord, help us. Help us to build ourselves in you again. Help us to be filled with Jesus' Spirit. Help us to be able to reflect Jesus' beauty, to show Jesus' beauty to the world in gentleness, in kindness, in grace, in humility. Lord, may you guard our heart. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand up and respond to Jesus' love with our song.
Song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
Let's pray together. God, I know deep down in our hearts, a lot of us, we want to trust in what you've said about beauty. Because in fact, I know a lot of us, we've gotten tired of chasing after that worldly beauty, that beauty standard that's unrealistic. And time again, we've found ourselves disappointing ourselves. We've found ourselves at a place of disappointment and even depression over how we look. And so we know deep down in our hearts, we want to trust in what you've said. We want to trust that the inner beauty is what matters. We want to trust and believe that the holy beauty is what matters. We want to trust and believe that Jesus Christ is the standard of beauty, and that we can actually be more and more like him as we live our day. But God, this is all very difficult. It's all very difficult because the world keeps bombarding us with different images and different advertisements and different standards. And so God, would you help us? Would you fill us up with Jesus Christ? Fill us up with his gentleness and his kindness and his humility and his love. And God, we only ask this thing that only you can do, because we can't make ourselves more like Jesus. We can't do that ourselves, but the Holy Spirit can. God, you can. So God, would you fill us up more and more and more of Jesus Christ? And would you also help us to see how beautiful Jesus is? How wonderful and how lovely he is, and how perfect and how holy it is. May our lives be built on Jesus Christ, and may our lives be set on pursuing Jesus Christ. And may our lives also be set to show Jesus Christ to others. And God, so help us to do all these. We pray all these in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, you may be seated.
As we come to a close for today's worship, I would like just to remind you that worship does not end here. Actually, worship can carry on through our actions and our lives every day. And one way that we can respond in worship is offering. And offering is something that I find is a very good spiritual practice. It teaches me how to put God first, and it teaches me how to set aside what belongs to God. And so I encourage you, head over to mykec.ca. There's credit card, there's PayPal, there's check. There are different ways that you could continue to give back to God for his ministry and for his works. And if this is your first time here, I would like to say, sign up for the Connect Card. Let us connect with you and let us find out more about who you are. At the same time, you can find out more about us. You can find out about the programs that we're having, find out about our small group ministry, find out about what are some of the classes that we'll be having on Saturdays. So I encourage you, sign up, send us an email, and let us connect with you. I have two announcements to share with you this morning. So while we have the online service on Sunday mornings, we have two other things that's going on at the same time. So on Sunday morning, we have our youth worship. So youth worship happens from 10 o'clock to about 11:15 thereabout. So what happens is there will be a group of leaders that would come together with the grade 6 to 9, where we would worship with them, we would share with them, and we would learn together with them. And what we have been doing is we've been joining them on Zoom, and we are spending time with them, and we are doing this series. So right now in January, we are doing this series called The Chickens of Valor, and we are asking a question: why did the chicken cross the road? Now, these are some of the things that we talked about every single week, and we do different series every single month. So I encourage you, if you're grade 6 to 9, sign up with us from mykec.ca, and you could join us on Sunday morning to worship together and to learn together. Aside from that, we also have Kapos on Sunday mornings. So Kapos, we now have Zoom online, where you could head over to mykac.ca, sign up, register with us. You could join us every single Sunday morning, where we have five different teams going from the grade ones to the grade four and fives, where we would spend time together with them. We would have small group discussion, we have small group activity. And this is a time where we continue to build relationship, continue to grow. So if this is your first time here, you're a new family, sign up and let us connect with you and encourage you to join us on Zoom. So let us rise and allow me to bless you with today's benediction taken from Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. This is what it says. Receive this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. And with this, I pray that the love of the Father, the tenderness of the Son, the presence of the Holy Spirit be with you. And gladden your heart. Bring peace to your soul as you go forth and you meet with the different challenges that you have this week. May the peace of the Lord be with you. Amen.